Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentist Implants and Worms. Helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. My poor glass is empty. I'm going to get this thing started, and then I'm going to go fill it up again. Are we at 300 episodes? Close? I can't count past four. Yeah, well, for over 250 episodes, Boyd's Wine and Spirits have been our sponsor, located on beautiful Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. Next time you go see the four friendly faces carved in granite, you should stop on your way and grab yourself a good old bottle of bourbon. And just kick back and see if Abe wants a drink. So
if.
Well, he did have a barrel of Blanton's in there. I might have double or triple dipped out of that, but
right now
he did a few weeks ago.
Oh, that son of a bitch! I need you to ship those down. All right, in house at the chair, we got Jeff Busky.
Busky.
There you go. Bitch, I fucked it up anyway.
Brewski.
Yeah, Brewski. It's an easy way
Jeff
to remember
Brewski,
it.
Here in the house. All right. Yeah. Tell us how's Voices of Dentistry been.
Man, it's been awesome. It's just...
Your first one?
Yeah, it's my first one here. Just enjoying and getting an opportunity. I love the way that the community feels. It's just that there's no pretentiousness. Everybody's just sharing, open, really welcoming. And, you know, putting on some fantastic stuff, giving away some great content. So... You know, when I sit back and listen to, you know, people who are up on stage shooting the lectures out, you know, they're giving stuff that actually people can take back and utilize, which is great. It's not just tickling people's ears.
It's a different animal.
Yeah.
This one is.
It's good.
Yeah.
The Tola crushed it.
Yeah. That was great this morning.
Yeah.
It was great this morning. You know, and that's seriously like one of the things too. Like one of the things I say is like, listen, if you want to be one of the most powerful people in the room, be one of the most vulnerable people in the room.
Yeah.
And he just was like amazing this morning, which was great.
Yeah. And I truly think that Josh Austin is the only human on the planet that can follow.
Yeah, exactly.
Tola and actually do a good job.
Then poor Colin pulls
him. Yeah. hey, listen, it was his first time speaking. He had to have the death spot. So. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, man. So, I've been practicing dentistry now for 24 years.
Oh,
so,
just a young pup.
Yeah, just
one
just
less
a little
than
bit,
me.
Yeah. So, love it. I currently practice in a little town called Granbury, Texas, which is a little bit west and south of Fort Worth. So we're about 40 minutes outside of there. And I've been there since 2004. I went out and joined, I don't know if you guys know Bruce Baird. But
Of course. We've had him on the show.
Bruce and I practiced together for 17 years. So I joined him in practice in 2004. And, man, and since he retired this last year, I mean, I miss him. I miss him in the practice. And, you know, we had to replace him with two guys just to, you know, keep the production up at where it was.
One for each day because he only worked 2 days a week.
That's very true, man. So, you know, we've been there. You know, my implant career began back in 2000 down in San Antonio. Then I went all through MISH in 2008. Went through AID Maxi down in Puerto Rico with Hilt Tatum and Joe Pedroza. That was awesome. Just getting a chance to hang out with Hilt and just see how his mind works. And, you know, if you shake his hand, it's like shaking a bear paw, you know. And
Hilt Tatum.
So it's been just an enjoyable experience and journey, clinically and professionally. But in life, it wasn't always necessarily that way too. For me, at one point I had some multiple practices and just didn't really know how to manage the stress really well. And as a lot of hard charging docs, I brought that into my family and it was really kind of detrimental from a standpoint like. I just wasn't equipped or I'd never been given the tools to look at saying, okay, how do we manage that? How do I manage, you know, all this emotion. And as a guy, you know, growing up, it's like if you, you know, had emotions or you cried, you were either, you know, weak or a pussy. And so that didn't work out quite so well with looking at how I can communicate effectively with my family and what I was, you know, going on. Or did I want to, you know, share with my wife, hey, man, I'm kind of afraid of what's going on, what's happening, and not, you know, sure of things. I think dentistry can be one of the most lonely professions, even though if you're practicing in a group, you know, because at the end of the day, you go home alone and you get on Facebook or Instagram and you're comparing yourself to all the other stuff where it's like, oh, these people are living their best life. And you're sitting there like, why am I the only asshole can't figure this out? And, you know, and that's what you start to feel like. And you play that comparison game. It's dangerous. As opposed to saying, you know what, I'm going to finish whatever I'm doing in excellence, and that's a different thought process. And it's an expanding process because, you know, just become better and better every day, and that's a big part of it.
You went to Mish at the Motor City Casino.
That's right, man, at the Motor City Casino.
I've been thinking about that since yesterday, and it just came to me. I was like,
the minute that you walk in there, every article of your clothing just smells like smoke, and it doesn't go away until you get home and put it through the wash.
Literally in the middle of Cracktown, Detroit, like literally, the taxi driver would drop you off and would tell you, like, yeah, under no circumstances do you leave the casino on foot.
Justin, I was telling you that I brought my running shoes there, and as we were driving in there, I was like, the only place these things are going to see is the treadmill inside of here, if there is even one.
It was crazy.
It was sketchy. Yeah. Sketchy. Yeah. I'd leave my suitcase out in the garage, you know, just to decompress all the smoke, so it just didn't stink up the house. Can't get home and everything.
So today you're what's that?
He didn't have a facility or anything to.
You know, years and years ago, before I was even a dentist, he did a lot of his courses out of his own office, which was actually in Beverly Hills, Detroit. And then he moved. Then he,
wait, what a misnomer!
I know.
Yeah.
But he got so big that he had to go to hotels, and I took it in the early 2000s, and. We did it at a little community college.
You were telling me that.
Yeah, he rented the lecture hall at a community college. The cool thing about that was that the community college had a culinary institute there. And
cater.
Well, yeah, and they practiced their big caterings on our groups. God, we had phenomenal food.
Oh, like, yeah, like, I like, bet. Like, I imagine.
It was awesome. They'd bus us from the Marriott down to the some community college, then back. It was down in Livonia and on 7 Mile Road, and it was,
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, that particular deal was just, like, really, that was, it sucks that I remember, like, the food. I might remember a few things. Yeah, but that was one of those, like, too. You know, like, when I took that was the only place you could go learn.
Yes.
That was really it. I mean, they had some maxi courses, which I did the maxi course in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Medical College of Georgia, under a guy named Ed Mills.
Yes, I remember Ed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I took Carl, like, that was really kind of it. And neither of the programs, Hilt was the only one running a maxi that you could actually do work
surgery on
patients.
Yep.
And that was my inspiration for getting Pathway going, was, like, we need live surgery.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have to have live surgery. We can't.
You know, didactic is one thing, and it's nice, and you can get an understanding. But till you're actually sitting down and looking at, you know, working on a live human being in front of you, it doesn't always, at least for me, it doesn't always click, you know?
For sure. So tell us about what you're actually doing today.
So cool. So today, you know, like, I'm excited because I reduced down my schedule, my work schedule. I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays in the office. And then I started a company called Dental Syndicate. And that's where we do emotional intelligence training for docs. And because my vision is really to look at eliminating divorce, depression, sedation, and suicide in our industry. And that's a big deal. Any one of those is a big deal.
That's a big plate.
Yeah. Any one of those is big on itself. But every single one of those has impacted me personally along the way. I didn't try to commit suicide, but I've lost several colleague, good friends of mine that have. But I did go through divorce, depression, and sedation. Like crazy, and just some of the same things that the guys were talking about this morning on the program. And so, you know, I realized one night after many, many bottles of wine and having significant arguments with my wife when she stopped me in my tracks and said, Jeff, I didn't sign up for this shit. And I really didn't have a response. And so, you know, I had to sit there and think, okay, I'm the common denominator here. Something has to shift and something has to change. So I went through and I did. I sought out mentors and coaches and started to shift things in my life. And then, man, I realized, wow, this not only impacted my life, but then it also impacted my practice. You know, I could always go in and produce well. And so I wasn't in a place where my practice was doing bad. It just was not running on all the cylinders that it now runs on.
Yeah.
And that was, I really think, one of the enlightening things. And I didn't realize that it was kind of like in life I was driving around with three flat tires, you know. I had one tire aired up, my practice that was going pretty well. And, you know, we break it down into the four Fs. We call it our faith, our fitness, our family, and our finance. And it's really getting all those to work harmoniously and simultaneously at the same time there. And really, that's what creates that balance for us. You know, I laugh. Go ahead.
What are...
Moody's coming in for a landing.
Coming in hot.
Where's mine, man?
So, you know, this morning, it's hard for anybody listening, but the theme this morning has kind of been some mental health things and different situations. I'm not a doctor, but I talk to 90 or 100 on a very regular rotation. I work for one of the dental supply companies. What are things that a guy should be looking at? I know I kind of understand a little bit. I don't want to be that personal with some of them folks because I'm not equipped to help them. I don't think I can help myself. And, you know, the worst question I can ever ask, hey, how you doing? And if they don't say fine, oh, you're fucked. I mean, it's like, oh, I didn't sign up to hear all your problems this morning. So what is the things that you should be looking for? And, I mean, how do you politely, you know, I don't know how you even say, hey, there's help for you. I don't know.
I think that's one of the best things that you can say. It's just really to check in with people because I think a lot of times, just like you were talking about, there's so much surface level bullshit, you know, where people come in, they're like, hey, how you doing? They don't really give a shit about how you're doing. It's just making conversation, right? And you think about it at a lot of meetings and everything, most of the conversations are surface level.
Yeah.
And so, you know, matter of fact, getting back into it, that's how I found out a really good friend of mine who was an amazing periodontist who got me actually into doing it, dental implants. I called his office one day to refer a patient over, and they said, well, Jeff, Max is no longer here. He's no longer here. I'm like, what do you, like, no longer like, in the office like there or, like, no longer here, on the planet? Yeah. And they said, no, he's passed away. He had an accident. We'll come to find out later that he committed suicide and left behind, you know, a couple kids. And so it was a big deal. That greatly impacted me. The crazy thing about it was he was just at my house 6 weeks before that. He'd looked better than I've ever seen in my life, lost all this weight, was amazing, had this absolutely gorgeous girlfriend. We went out with my wife on the boat. We had a great time. They stayed. We just had a good time. But because everything looked good on the surface, I never said, hey, man, how you doing? How are you really doing since your divorce and all this stuff? And so we never really got into it.
Had a guy just down the road. I was just going to call him Dr. J. I don't want to get too far into it. But swinging in the basement. Staff came in and...
Well, you know, he grew up in a town close to me, and him and I went to the University of Nebraska together and played intramural sports in college together, and he became a dentist, and I actually bought his dad's practice as one of my satellites, and, you know, that morning, I have to drive by his office to get to mine, and I was just like, damn, Seegers is there?
Yeah.
Jay's there? Yeah.
You never went home?
Jay's at his office early,
yeah.
And I drove by his office probably for 2 years. Never one time did I just stop in and have a cup. His office is next to the Starbucks, literally.
Right.
Like, never once stopped in, you know, grabbed a coffee or whatever, and you know, the next day, you know, his son had found him.
Wow.
You know, and I think about that all the time, and you know, like Jay just. He was always happy when you saw him like that. That's not what you would expect, but you know what? Nobody ever stopped in on him.
There was a lady pediatric dentist in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know the guy that bought the practice.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and she, everyone that I didn't know her personally, but everyone I talked to just loved her, whatever. And, you know, you don't think female too often. You know, suicide tends to be a male-dominated sport, and but it's all it's everywhere.
Well,
I mean, I went through issues, divorce and like that, and there was a time where I definitely wanted to drive my Harley into the brick wall, not the garage, you know?
Yeah.
Going to work was just, but,
well, and
that's changed now. Now I love going to work.
Well, and I think several things. Like, for me, one of the big things is just really looking at being a much better steward of my relationships, you know, just actually, you know, if I am going to ask, then I'm going to make sure that I'm going to take the time to really listen. And to be present, you know? I think being present is probably one of the best gifts that we can give another human being, is because there's such a lack of that these days. True.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I think Totola and Josh spoke about that this morning, but, you know, we talked about it yesterday, and, like, well, three of the four of us here have had a divorce.
Yep.
You know, and why Tracy
working
hasn't
on it every day.
Why Tracy hasn't thrown your ass out by now? I don't really understand. But you know, it's a process, and
yes.
I got a buddy that's going through it right now, and like I remember going through it, and you hit all the emotions,
like it's
your fault, you're a loser, you're a failure, you're all these things too, and then you'll swing to a period where you hate them and you want to hire a hitman and all these other things.
Be cheaper.
Start doubting. Yeah, you know, what am I doing to my kids? You know, that type of stuff.
Right, you know, and I, oh my God, I just fucked up my kid's life, you know, all these other things. And then at the end of the day, like, you know, it settles out and you're just like, yeah, like I got to, you know, hopefully it settles out. And you're like, yeah, I got to go live my life. But as we talked a little bit yesterday, you know, humans are just pattern producing machines.
For sure.
And if you... You know, if you go into your next relationship not having worked on yourself, it's going to end the same fucking way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same fucking way. Yeah. Even whether you, like, I don't think there's been many divorces where you can say that, like, one's at all fault and one's at not. Like, I think it's a 50-50 split. Like,
there's,
for the most part. It might sway one way or the other a little bit. But
Each player has a contribution to the scenario, for sure.
And then, you know, you live through that, and I was... You know, and then, you know, my second relationship didn't work, you know, and finally I was just like, man, like, I need to, like,
figure some shit out. Yeah.
And this is what I told my daughters, you know, because, you know, I have four daughters, and they all went through bad relationships before they found they're all happily married now. I said, you know, get rid of the jackasses.
Yeah.
Be alone.
Better off.
Be off with yourself, or be happy. Learn how to be happy with yourself. You know, don't bounce. You gotta just go solo for a while. And, a couple of them did it.
Yeah.
But they just had to learn to love themselves before they went bouncing back to some other idiot. So,
well,
and then they learned to choose not to choose the idiot.
I think there's a lot of times you don't know yourself.
That's a huge part of it.
Exactly.
I think stuff I liked a while back, I'm like, I never liking this stuff. Well, it was no good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, if they're with the wrong person, that person is going to change who they are, you know, and in my case they were just beating them down, taking that self-esteem and crushing it, and
it's kind of like that little axe that's just chopping away at the big sequoia tree over time.
And then they get into the gaslighting, you know, and hey, no one else is going to want you just stick with me, you know, that type of shit.
It can be very, very detrimental, and you know, I think that's one of the reasons that you know, for us as dentists, I think it really requires having a great, solid community and community of people around you that you respect, and also too that you can be really open and honest with, and just say, "Man, this shit isn't working in my life," and just get some great feedback from somebody who's either been there before you, going through the same thing, has gone through it. You know, to be able to just say, "Hey, man, it's going to be okay if you just wait on the other side."
Yeah,
you'll actually find some great gifts. For me, at least in my life, the way I've had the greatest gifts on the other side of all my pain or all my problems, and it's just been different puzzles to unpack, but it's really looking at it from the perspective of, you know, just changing the thought process and just like you were saying, Justin, interrupting those patterns, you know, because you know, when I look at it, you've got, you're going along in life and you've got like this event or this trigger that happens, and your first initial emotions are typically anger, like we talked about there, right, and then blame, and then you start to feel guilt, and then you start to feel shame, and then you're like, man, pretty soon I'm just sitting down here in this pit of shit. And then you're like,
been there.
The shit pit.
And then after a while, you start to feel better, and you're like, oh, well, you know, life's just getting better again until the next trigger that happens. Yeah. And then, you know, but I, you know, it's one of those things that we've, unfortunately, as men, we've, I can't speak for women, but we've just never been taught, trained, or educated on how to deal with
just
those things.
Yeah. Just hide it.
Yeah, just hide it. Just sweep it. Yeah. Just sweep it under the rug.
Well, it goes to the saying, just buck up, be a man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that means is like just like don't bother. Like don't share your emotions.
Yeah,
you big pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, big pussy.
What was it? Just rub some dirt on it, Johnny. Yeah. Get back in the game. Yeah. Just, you know, coach, I broke my dick. Wait, just rub some dirt on it. Get back in the game.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. that should happen.
You're in the ship, man.
That shit happens. It does. Well, how can people find you, man?
So they can find me. You can find me on Messenger, Jeff Buski. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jeff Buski there. Best way is just get in touch with me, send me a message. And, you know, and it's not the fact that your life has to be in a shithole at all. We work with people that their lives are amazing.
When in the shit pit,
in the shit pit, yeah. Call Jeff, yeah. We'll shape you out of the shit pit. Now, you know, we work with people whose lives are working really great and just really kind of want to level up the game, too. You know, for me.
But you probably learn a lot from those people, too.
Oh, my.
To apply to the next case.
Absolutely. You know, but just what you were saying, Justin, too, there's so many patterns that we have. And it's not just, you know, dentists, but just men in general. We have these patterns that have been ingrained and just handed down generationally. I call it generational poverty. Until, you know, somebody says enough of this, I'm going to shift and change this, you know? And that's what's cool.
There's a lot to be said with that. Like, you know, I know a lot of people just like, you know, like, there was a time where I was like, yeah, like, I've already outkicked my coverage. Like, I've already, like, done better than, it's interesting because people are like, you know, you've done better than your parents. But I was like, no, not really. Like, my dad's a fifth generation rancher that has this, you know, like, he loves what he does.
Yeah.
You know, like, he gets up and does exactly what he wants to do every day.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't answer to the man. Like, he's the man.
Yep.
Like,
he's the happiest cantankerous fucker I know.
Like, well, my dad, if he isn't giving you shit or fucking with you, like, he doesn't like you.
He doesn't like you.
He doesn't like you.
I used to tell all my girlfriends that. If my dad is not giving you a hard time, that means he doesn't like you.
And, you know, the gift that I got from him that I didn't realize until that recently is, you know, I've always said that about him, but the fact is, he just doesn't have time for assholes.
No.
You know, like,
or doesn't
like,
make the time.
Like the rest of us, like, you know, I just like, refuse to. You put up with this asshole. You put up with this shit in your life. And my dad is just like, yeah, if I don't really like that person, like, fuck it. Like, I just don't hang out with him. I don't go and call. He doesn't go call him an asshole or anything like that. He just doesn't
give him the time.
He just doesn't have anything to do with him.
So my favorite quote from your dad is after the Rocky Mountain Institute. And you're home whining about all this and how bad it is and yet nothing. He says, well, you could always go back to work.
Yeah.
exactly.
Gabe, I love that one.
Yeah, seriously.
I might have changed it a little, but I think that was the gist of it.
It's 100% it. Gabe and I were just talking about that. I tried opening a teaching institute in downtown Denver in 2010.
Yeah.
We made it to 2014, and then we closed the doors. And one night, in the middle of the night, Gabe and I and a bunch of techs tore the office apart, loaded it on a big moving truck, and sent it out of state.
Sent out.
And we were peace out.
It's a lot.
And I went home, you know, and I got, you know, I mean, obviously the landlord wasn't happy, so there's law, you know, there's shit going on there. And then, like, you know, like the rest of your life is a dumpster fire as well. And you know, so one day I just didn't go to work. I took the day off. I drove down to the ranch, you know, set fence posts and hung out with my old man. And, you know, I'm talking to him. He says, well, you know, like, you, if you want to go bankrupt or if that's your only avenue, then this is what you need. You know, like, that's what you have to do. You got to do it. He goes, you could just go back to work. Randy had it dead on. Like that was the fucking quote. Like you could just go back to work.
Yeah.
And Gabe and I talked about this again last night. Like, you know, I went to work 6 days a week.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, like I.
But you didn't know it at the time. You bought an education that laid the groundwork for where you're at now.
Correct.
Like, well, think
I, absolutely.
I couldn't think do what that. I did today without that experience.
Yes. And
if you haven't failed, you ain't trying.
That's exactly right. But think about that today because, you know, I think there's so much entitlement in the world today. And, you know, you had to get past a lot of saying, oh, shit, I got to go back and I got to work 6 days a week to make this happen, to feed my family, to take care of myself, to put my kids through school, to put food on the table, whatever it is. But you were committed to the results irregardless of what it had to look like.
Yep.
And that's a big deal.
It's hard to swallow your pride. And
it is.
And just say,
well, it's easy to say, well, shit, I worked hard. I deserve this. But in reality is, well, you're at where you're at because of decisions or actions or ill actions that you've not taken. And that's really where you end up with.
And what else is interesting is it wasn't until not that long ago that I even talked about Denver. And now I have no issue with it. I still haven't been downtown Denver. I just like it is like
got a bad taste.
Yeah, and I don't know why because I love being on the 16th Street Mall, man.
Not anymore.
What's that?
Unless you want to just smoke pot and talk to retards, you just stay clear. Yeah, it's bad.
I don't think you can say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beep. Listen, I'm not talking about those folks. These are the ones who are self-made.
Yeah. self-made, mentally impaired.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for the folks who didn't have a choice, but yes. These guys sure did.
True. True.
Jeff, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks.
You know what I love about this meeting is we met a new friend.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. Nice to visit with you guys. Yeah, absolutely, guys. So,
from Dentist Implants and Worms live, Scottsdale, Arizona, Voices of Dentistry 2022. We'll catch you later.
All right.
Bye, guys.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.